Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Somebody say, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Well, why is that? Because faith plugs into God and receives from Him. And how many people know all things are possible with God? Well, Jesus said all things are possible in Him that believes. Because believing is faith, and faith plugs into God through whom all things are possible. So when you're in faith, you're connected with all things possible. That's why all things are possible to him that believes. Because you're connected with all things that are possible. God. So thank God for faith. We don't want to ever take our faith for granted, because if we do, we'll lose it. Faith can be lost. And we don't want to lose our faith. We want to continue in faith. Continue in faith. And of course, we have faith in the Lord Jesus for salvation, that we might be born again, become a child of God, and enter into heaven. How many people are expecting to go to heaven? Well, you got to continue in the faith. We believe we're saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. But yet we have to continue in that faith. If we get out of faith concerning our salvation, if we begin to get into self-righteousness, begin to trust in ourselves, then we'll begin to drift away, turn away from the faith that has saved us. And so, you know, like I've said, people don't really lose their salvation, but they can leave it. They can leave it. How? By neglecting their faith. And that's what we were talking about last time. We're going to pick it up again here tonight. But in review, we looked at over at Acts chapter 14 in verse 22. It says, strengthening the souls of the disciples. This is what the apostles were doing as they went around to the various different churches that they had established. It says they were strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. That's what they were encouraging them to do. Continue in the faith. See, we don't want to just take for granted, well, I had faith, and therefore that must mean I have faith. Well, I called on the Lord Jesus Christ. I by faith received the grace of God. Okay, now continue in the grace of God by faith. See, it's something you got to continue in. And in order to continue in the faith, you got to continuously feed your faith. You got to build yourself up on your most holy faith. That's what it says over in Jude 1:20. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. You got to build up your faith. You got to feed your faith. You got to strengthen yourself in faith so that you continue in faith. I want to finish, don't you? And really, it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. It's how you finish. And I'm in for the long haul. How about you? I didn't just get in this thing for a little while, man. I'm in this thing for eternity. And I'm expecting to walk through the gates of heaven and receive rewards from the Lord for being faithful and true to His word. How about you? Well, the only way that's going to happen is that we continue in faith. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, it says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. And we see these warnings all throughout the New Testament. God constantly reminding us to guard our hearts, to protect our faith, so that we aren't, here it says, moved away from the hope. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Before we have faith, we have hope. So our faith is built on our hopes. And we don't want to be moved away from our hope. The hope, number one, of eternal life. But then there's the hope of a healthy life in this world. There's the hope of a happy life in this life, in this world. There's the hope of a prosperous life because God's word promises us all these things. I said he promises us all these things. So we want to have faith for all these things. And we want to continue in the faith for all these things so that we continue to prosper and remain in health even as our souls prosper. And if we begin to get away from faith in God's word, we begin to neglect the word of God so that we're not strengthening our faith, we're not being diligent to fortify and strengthen our faith, then we can begin to drift away from the kind of life God has for us. We might make it into heaven, but God wants us to have days of heaven right here on the earth. And I want to have what God wants me to have because that's how God's glorified when God gets what he wants. So I want God to get what he wants. And what does God want? God wants me to have a prosperous, healthy life. God wants me to live an abundant life. God wants me to live an overflowing life. God wants me to live a victorious life. He doesn't want me to live as a victim in life. Being a victim in life doesn't glorify God. That's not his will. It's not him getting what he wants. I want God to get what he wants. So he wants me to have a victorious life. So therefore, for his sake, I'm going to live a victorious life. How about you? Say, I'm going to live a victorious life too. Amen. So faith, stepping out in faith on God's word, gets us moving in that direction. Gets us over into the victory God has for us. Gets us over into receiving that healthy, prosperous kind of life that God has for us. Over in James chapter 1, James 1 verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. In other words, without fault finding is literally how that can be translated. No, God's not a fault finder. He gives liberally. He gives freely and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. In other words, don't just ask, but you got to ask in faith. There's a lot of folks asking God for a lot of things. There's a lot of folks out there praying and asking. But you have to ask in faith. Which means what? Which means you need to be in faith before you ask. So that when you ask, you're in faith. Let him ask in faith. He didn't say, let him ask and then get in faith. And that's what a lot of folks do. No, you got to ask in faith. Which means many times before you ask God for anything, you need to fellowship with God. You need to fellowship with him. You need to talk to him about these things. Talk to him about his will. Talk to him about what his word says. Go over to the scriptures. Look up scripture. Present your case to God. Say, Lord, you said this in your word. Talk to him. Fellowship with him. Because faith comes by fellowshipping. And fellowshipping with God. It doesn't just come from the dead letter of God's word. It comes from that rhema word, that living word. In other words, it comes out of fellowshipping with God, communing with him, talking to him talking to you. That's how faith comes. That's how faith comes forth. Because we know Romans chapter 12 tells us that God has dealt to each one of us who have been born again the measure of faith. So when you got born again, you received faith. You received faith. But now we got to stir up that faith. We got to activate that faith. We got to cause that faith to come forth. And it comes forth by fellowshipping and fellowshipping with God. So many times, you got to go to God and you got to talk to him about what you need, what you want. Talk to him about it. Get over in the word of God. Find out what he has said about it already. Commune with him. Talk to him. And then when faith is there, when now you've been fellowship with him around his word, you've been talking his will, and now you know faith is there, that's when you ask. That's when you actually ask or make your petition known to him. You've got to ask in faith. A lot of folks are running to God asking for stuff, but they're not taking the time to fellowship with him to be able to get over in faith before they ask. Because folks don't want to invest the time. They got a lot more important things to do than sit around here and talk to God. Fellowship with him. I mean, I got a busy life. And yet he's the one that's upholding our life. And faith is the victory that's going to put us over in life. So we need to take the time. Take the time. Fellowship, don't be so quick to ask. I said, don't be so quick to ask God for things. Be quick to fellowship with him. Be quick to talk to him. Be quick to hear from him. What's he saying? Well, I know what he said. I know what he said. And people are living off a stale piece of bread. They're living off a stale word that they heard way back here. And I say stale because it's not living and abiding in them. It's not reality to them. It's just a dead letter. It's just turned into scripture. That's all it's turned into. And they think that because they have a scripture memorized in their head, that means they know it and they're in faith concerning it. But that's not true. And you need to know when you're in faith. You need to be able to recognize when you're in faith and when you're not in faith. That's something as Christians we need to understand. We need to know what faith looks like. I said we need to know what faith looks like, what faith sounds like. Can you say amen? So he says, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now, is that God's word? That's what God said. He said, don't even think you're going to. Don't think for a minute that this kind of person that doesn't ask in faith is going to receive anything from God. Now, again, it's important to understand. He didn't say this. He didn't say, for let not that man suppose that God's going to give him anything. If God don't see faith, God's not going to give him anything. No, it's not talking about God giving. It's talking about our receiving. He said, let not that man think that he will receive. Not God will give. He will receive anything. He's not going to receive anything. It's not a question of God giving. It's all about our receiving. Because 2 Peter chapter 1 says God has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And it's through the knowledge of him. It's knowing him. Knowing him on a personal level. Not just knowing of him. Not just knowing about him. Where you've just heard of him and you know him. You read about him in the newspaper. And you know him according to the newspaper article. No, it's knowing him personally, right? There's a lot of people in the world that we know. How many people know Donald Trump, the President of the United States? I hope you all do by now. Some of you don't know. Huh? Donald Trump? What year is this? How many of you know Donald Trump? Yeah, you know him, but you only know him according to what you heard about him, what others have said about him, or some things that he has said, and according to some things that he has done. But how many know him on a personal level? I see nobody who knows him. So we know him, but we don't know him. We know him, but we don't know him. Same thing with God. That's where a lot of people are at. They know him according to the Bible, according to Scripture, according to what the pastor said, according to what other Christians say, but they don't know him. They don't have that personal relationship with him. And that personal relationship, you got to maintain. You got to maintain that relationship. If you don't maintain the relationship, then it just becomes a religious ritual. That's all it becomes. It just becomes something you knew. Something you once knew. Something you heard about. but you've lost sight of the reality of Him. Faith is walking in the reality of God. In other words, God's real to you. Personal. Personal. He talks to you. When you get over into the Scriptures, into the Word, it's not just letters. God gets in and talks to you. And He shows you things. And when He talks to you, something happens called revelation. You receive revelation of God's Word. We need to be looking for revelation. Not just live off of past revelation. We need fresh revelation. Fresh revelation. And one of the ways you keep revelation fresh in your life is you keep working it in your life. You keep actively working it. You're a doer of the Word of God. You're speaking it. You're thanking God for it. Whatever Scriptures you're not really thankful for, they're not real to you. I said, whatever Scriptures you're not really thankful for, they're not really real to you. Because when God's Word's real to you, you're thankful for everything He says. You're thankful for what He says. You're thankful that you're hearing from Him. You're thankful that you're knowing Him. You're thankful that you're knowing His will. There's a thankfulness that comes along with faith. And we need to know whether we're in faith. Isn't that what we said? We need to know whether we're in faith or not so that we can ask in faith. One of the ways you know you're in faith is that you're thankful concerning the Word of God that you're believing. You're thankful for the Word of God that you say you're believing. So in other words, that means when you're praying, you're thankful. That's why he says in Ephesians, he says that we're to pray with thanksgiving. To pray, to ask with thanksgiving. Where is that? Is that Ephesians? Philippians? Let's go there. Thank you, Dave. You're a scholar and a theologian. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Again, what's your request? That's you asking for something. So he says, in James, he says, let him ask in faith. How do I know I'm in faith? Well, you're asking with thanksgiving. And we're not talking about doing something mechanically. You're thankful. You're thankful for what you're asking for. You don't just get thankful when you see it come to pass. You're thankful when you're asking. If you're asking in faith. So you can see where people's faith are at just by checking out their Thanksgiving gauge. How's your Thanksgiving gauge doing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the meter. We want to be full of thanksgiving. Thankful. 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 If you're not thankful, your tank ain't full. Your faith tank ain't full if you aren't thankful. And that's a sad place to be. And if I was you, I wouldn't tolerate 5 minutes like that. Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So I wouldn't tolerate 5 minutes of being unthankfulness, which is spiritual emptiness. Unthankfulness is spiritual emptiness. You're spiritually empty if you're not thankful. Which means what? Which means you're not walking in the reality. You're not walking in faith. Because faith walks in the reality of God, and when you're in the reality of God, you're thankful. You're thankful to God that God is. He is who He says He is. He is everything the Word says He is in your life. Whoo, hallelujah. Man, it just makes you want to shout talking about it. It should get you stirred up. When the Apostle Paul was preaching in a certain place, he observed a man who had been crippled from his mother's womb. And the Bible said, Paul, observing him intently while he was preaching the gospel. He's preaching the gospel while he's preaching the gospel. Here's this man lame from his mother's womb. Paul observing him intently, seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet." And the man leaped to his feet. Notice that. Paul was preaching, and the whole time he's preaching, he's looking for faith. He's looking for faith. He's looking to see who's believing what's being said. And he could see this man had faith. This man got Paul's attention. Paul saw the man's faith. That's why Paul locked in on him and observed him intently. Said, "This guy's got it. This guy's got it right there. He's believing everything I'm saying. He's believing this gospel. He's believing the word of God. I can see it. I can see it." Well, how could you see it? There's all kinds of things preachers see. There's all kinds of things we have to see. I should be observing folks intently. Seeing they got faith. Congregation just coming alive. The more I preach, the more I talk Jesus, the more alive they become, the more excited they become. Right? That's faith. That's we know. Faith is rising. The faith that's in you is coming forth. Faith comes by hearing. What are we hearing? How are we hearing? Jesus said, "Take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear." Many times, again, it's not a question of what's being said. It's not a question of the word that's being delivered. It's a question of how well are we receiving the word that's being delivered. Let not that man think that he will receive anything from God. I mean, if we're not going to walk out of here full of faith, what in the world did we come for? We need to be expecting of ourselves to walk out of here different than the way we walked in here. We should be walking out of here built up, fired up with faith, which means what? Whoo! Hallelujah! Full of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God. The word is true. Somebody say, continuing in the faith. We got to do it. We got to continue in the faith. If faith got you into it, then it's faith that'll get you through it. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Many times people step out in faith and only go so far before they're doubting, before they're in unbelief. I don't want to step out in faith and end up in unbelief. Just because we stepped out in faith, that's not good enough. We got to end in faith. I said we got to end in faith. We don't want to just step out in faith. A lot of folks get satisfied. They say, "Well, I stepped out in faith. I'm in faith." Well, it doesn't mean you're in faith because you stepped out in faith. You got to stay in faith. Remember over Galatians chapter 3, quick review. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. He says, "Are you so foolish?" Talking to the church at Galatia. "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" You started out doing this thing with God in partnership with Him, doing this thing in the Spirit, doing this thing by faith. And now here you are trying to perfect what you started out in faith doing. You're trying to perfect it in the flesh. That's where a lot of folks end up. They start out in the Spirit, end up in the flesh. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Faith believes God. It believes God that he's the completer. He's the completion of whatever it is we need in life. Whatever we need in life, God's got it. God's the one that brings it to pass. He's the source of every good thing. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. It all comes from Him. He's the source. So He completes. He completes us. The Bible says He will perfect that which concerns you. Man, don't that excite you? He will perfect that which concerns you. Do you have any concerns? Oh, glory to God. Get in faith about it. Get in faith about it. And he will perfect it. I'm so glad it's not dependent upon my skillfulness. Huh? And my ability and my intelligence. Oh, thank God. It's not dependent on me. But he will perfect that which concerns me. He'll bring it all to pass. Like I said, you got me this far. You're going to take me all the way now. You know, we've had situations come up, you know, and I mean, we're in a situation and it's really life or death. And I've gone to God and I just said, Lord, I don't know where else to go. I don't know what else to do. I said, I've built my whole life around you. I've built everything on trusting you. I said, if I go do this or do that, I'd just be doing it in the flesh. I said, I can't do that. I got to just trust you. That's all I know to do. And you know what? He's always come through. He's always come through. I said, he's always come through. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. He's going to complete it. Do you need anything completed in your life besides you? Do you need some things that you'd like to see perfected? Oh, thank you, Jesus. He's doing it. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. Shout, Lord, you're doing it. I believe it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. That just knocks all the cares off you, doesn't it? And that's another sign of being in faith. Person that's in faith is carefree. He's carefree. Not a care in the world. Because the Lord's got all his cares. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him. Because he cares for you. Casting all your care upon him. All of it. Do you have any cares? Any concerns? What does faith do? Casts it on the Lord, or rolls it over onto him. Rolls it over onto him. That's what faith does. Faith isn't walking around carrying cares. If you're walking around carrying cares, you're not walking by faith. You're walking by sight. And you could just know that. If you're being weighted down with worry, then you are not in faith. You are carrying the cares of life. But faith makes you light. It makes life light and easy. Remember what Jesus said? He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Why? Because it's faith. Faith will make your life lighter. How light are you tonight? How light are you tonight? Are you heavy? Are you weighted down with the cares of this life? You're not in faith. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. I wouldn't put up with that. I wouldn't put up with that for 5 minutes. I'm not going to sit here and put up with heavy weights, cares, worries, anxieties. I wouldn't put up with that. Why? Because those things will weigh you down so that you cannot walk on the water with the Lord, as we see with Peter. Let's look over here at the Apostle Peter. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. In verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. That's different. Right? Walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid. Again, you know, if we're listening to the Lord, he's going to dispel all fear if we're listening to him. You can't be hearing from God and continue in fear. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from God. Right? Faith comes from hearing from God, not fear. Faith comes. So here, fear gripped them, but then Jesus spoke a word to them. And he told them, he said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. That's what Jesus will always do. He'll always help you. If you're struggling with fear, just turn aside to him. And he's quick. He's quick to say, be of good cheer. Do not be afraid. So then why do people continue in fear for so long? I mean hours, days, weeks, months. People remain in fear. I'm just worried to death. I'm just sick with fear. All these things they say. I'm just so troubled. I'm just so scared. I'm just so concerned. Christians. Tells me they aren't hearing from Jesus. They aren't hearing from Jesus. I go to church every week. That's nice. You ain't hearing from Jesus. My pastor's a great pastor. He preaches the words of Jesus. Yeah, but you ain't hearing from Jesus. I didn't say there was something wrong with your pastor's delivery. Hello? But there's something wrong with your receiving. If you're walking around in fear, you're not hearing from Jesus. Because when Jesus speaks, faith comes. And faith is the opposite of fear. Faith is the opposite of fear. Be of good cheer. It is I. Praise God. Are you of good cheer? How many people know it's Jesus? It's Jesus. If it's Jesus, then we should be of good cheer. And not afraid. Not worried about a thing. I'm not going to worry about a thing. Hallelujah, I got Jesus. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. One word. Come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, climbing down the ladder, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Walked on the water. I mean, you got to be pretty light on your feet to walk on the water. You got to be light on your feet. You know, I think of like, you know, in these ponds. You got these creatures, they got these legs that kind of stretch out. You know what I'm talking about? And they skip. You know what I'm talking about? I got a pond, you know, and they got these legs and they just skip on top of the water. Just light as could be. You throw a pebble in there, you know, it's gonna bloop. It's gonna drop down. Now you could take a rock and you could sling it like that real fast. And it'll skip on the water. It'll walk on it. You ever do that? You'll just skip across the water. But then, it's going to sink. Because it's a rock. But notice, it goes out there with great enthusiasm. With great excitement. With great speed and energy. But as soon as that energy begins to die down, bloop. We don't see the rock anymore. That's what Peter is like. He got excited. He jumped out of the boat. Great energy and enthusiasm. He jumped out there and he walked on the water. Hallelujah. I said he walked on the water. I walked on the water once too. It was a puddle. But I did it. I did it. Does it matter how deep it was? I walked on it. It was a puddle. It was while I was out at Bible school, actually. And I pulled up into this parking spot. It was pouring rain. And I opened the car door, and I mean, there was a puddle several inches deep. I mean, it just right there at the car door, I thought, and I was in a rush. I had to get inside. And I said, "Lord, if Peter walked on the water, I could walk on this puddle. In Jesus' name." And I ran across that puddle. I ran across that puddle. And I went inside. I had my nice shoes on. When I looked down, my feet were totally dry. I walked on the water. Praise God forever. Now, I don't know how long it would have lasted if I had some time to think about what I was doing, you know. In other words, if I had to stay on that puddle for any length of time, I don't know. But it was quick. I was over and done quickly, and I skipped right over on, as though on dry land. But notice what happened to Peter. He gets out of the boat. He walks on the water. The only way he could be doing this is because he has faith. He's got faith in the word of Jesus. "Lord, if that's you, command me to come to you on the water." And the Lord just says, "Come." One word from God. One word from God. Peter believed it, stepped out of the boat, and he walked on the water. Why? Because faith makes you weightless. Faith makes your life weightless. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Your whole life becomes light when the only burden you're carrying is the Lord's. When you're in faith and you're just doing the Lord's will and you're abiding in Him and He's caring for all the other things that you care about in life, He's carrying all those things, then you won't sink in life. You'll be able to walk on top of the circumstances of life. Life is easy and light with the Lord. So if it starts getting heavy, if it starts getting oppressive, what do we know? We're departing from faith. We're departing from faith. And notice what happens here, verse 28. "And Peter answered him, said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" You can hear the disappointment in the Lord's voice. And the Lord is showing us here that Peter did not have to sink. He could have continued to walk on the water just like Jesus was walking on the water. He could have stayed on top of the water. He didn't have to begin to sink and go under. And the Lord blamed his sinking on what? Having little faith. In other words, he had faith. But it was little faith. It was little faith. In other words, he was just able to go a little ways. We're not talking about the size of his faith. Because Jesus said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you'd be able to say to this mountain, "Be removed and cast the seed." If you didn't doubt in your heart, believe those things you say will come to pass, you'd have whatever you said. If you had faith the size of what? A mustard seed. This tiny little seed. So we know Jesus, when he says little faith, he's not talking about the size of faith. He's talking about the amount of faith. Not the size of his faith, the amount of faith. He had little faith. In other words, he only had faith to go a little ways. Because again, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, then you could stay on top of that water. You could stay on top of the circumstances of life, and you'd never sink. But little faith means you were only able to go a little ways before you stepped out of faith. You only stayed in faith for a short duration of time. See, we don't want to start out in faith and only go for a short duration. We want to stay in faith. We want to continue in faith all the way to the end until we accomplish what we stepped out in faith to see accomplished in our life. He stepped out, but he didn't stay there. And why didn't he stay there? Well, the Bible says he looked and saw that he saw that the wind was boisterous. He saw. Bible says we walk by faith and not by. So you cannot be in faith and walk by sight. In other words, you can't be basing what you're believing on what you're seeing. You got to base your believing on what God is saying, not what you're seeing. And so if your eyes are dictating to you how it's going to be, then you're not in faith. How do you want to be in faith? Then you cannot allow yourself to be ruled by your eyes. You can't allow yourself to be ruled by what you see. And there's been things, you know, that happen that try to contradict what God says, contradict what I'm believing. God's telling me in his word that he's my protection, he's my prosperity, he's my healer, he's all these things. And then circumstances arise to try to tell me something else. And I've looked right at those circumstances and I've said, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed because my eyes are not on what I see. My eyes are on what God says. And I'm too impressed with what God is saying to be impressed with what I'm seeing. We need to be too impressed with what God is saying to be impressed by what we're seeing or hearing from other people. So faith is impressed. But it's not impressed with winds, the wind and the waves. Oh, look at the storm. Look, I'm not impressed. Look at the protection. Look at the name of the Lord. It's a strong tower. And I've run, tornado warnings. They've already said, three tornadoes have touched down out here on Shelbyville Road, and they're headed in this direction. Good. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm too impressed with the strong tower. I'm too impressed with the name of the Lord. I'm too impressed with God and his protection. I'm too impressed with the shadow of the Almighty to be all impressed with a bunch of blowing debris. It's just a bunch of blowing debris. How are we responding? How are we reacting to things? I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed with what? I'm too impressed with God. Somebody say, faith is impressed with God. Wow, God. Wow. How many people think we should be in awe of him? Right? We shouldn't be in awe of really anything else. That's awesome. Only if it's of God. Only if he's in it. Only if he's the one working it. Then it's awesome. But if he's not in it, if he's not doing it, it's not really awesome. It's just flesh. It's just flesh. Not impressed. You need to learn to say that. You need to come to God and worship him and say, I am so impressed with you. And you need to learn to say to circumstances in life, I'm not impressed. Did you hear what they said? Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what God said? Do I really care about what that sack of wind said over there? When I'm hearing what God says? Yeah, people don't know that. A lot of people, what they say, it's just a sack of wind. I'm not impressed. But I am impressed with someone else. Now, if you're not impressed with God, then you are vulnerable to be impressed with fleshy things, impressed with what the devil is trying to stir up in your life, whatever kind of storms he's trying to stir up in your life. But thank God you don't have to be impressed with any of that. Can you say amen? So I wouldn't go 5 minutes not being impressed with God, not being in awe of God. And that's called worship. That's expressed in something called worship. So praise and thanksgiving. Faith is full of praise, full of thanksgiving, and it's full of awe and wonder and amazement at God, full of worship. Full of worship. And that's what God's seeking. He's seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. Amen? That's what God's looking for, because God's looking for faith, and faith worships. Faith is in awe of him. But Peter, he began to sink, and Jesus said, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And then when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. That's interesting here. You know, he was sinking, and he cried out. He said, "Lord, save me." And the Lord reached out and saved him. Because you understand, Jesus was there in bodily form. And Jesus was walking by faith on that water. Did you know that? He wasn't walking on the water because he was God come in the flesh. If you understand the scriptures, if you understand the life of Jesus, Jesus lived his life by faith in God the Father. He said, "I don't do anything of myself." He was totally reliant upon the Father. When the devil came and tempted him, he said, "Man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And he was saying that for himself. "I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, my Father. That's what I live by." So Jesus is out here. He's out here walking on the water by faith. Peter started out in faith, but now he's in doubt. He only had a little gas in his engine. He got out there on his journey, and he ran out of fuel. He ran out of faith. "Lord, save me!" Thank God there was somebody standing there who had faith. Faith enough, not only for himself, but was able to reach down and help pull Peter up out of the circumstances of life. And that's where the prayer of agreement comes in. Over in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Why don't we turn there? Matthew 18, we're just a couple chapters away from it. In verse 18, "Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Now notice that. "I say to you that if two of you agree," where? On earth. Where's Jesus today? He's in heaven. He's not on earth. Jesus is not on the earth. Jesus ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But here in Peter's life, Jesus was there on earth. And because he was there on earth, he was able to grab hold of Peter and help him. Peter, in and of himself or in his own faith, would have drowned. He got out there in faith, got away from the boat. But then he didn't continue in faith and began to sink. If Jesus, or we could just say, if someone wasn't there in faith to help him, to agree with him, he would have drowned. He would have drowned. And think about it. He would have drowned in the perfect will of God. He would have drowned having gotten out there by faith. And that's what happens. A lot of folks, they start out in faith. They're believing God. But they don't have faith to go the distance. And then they sink out there in the middle of it. Middle of what they're believing God for. Circumstances of life overwhelm them. The evil report overwhelms them. And they begin to sink. But thank God there is the prayer of agreement, where when your faith is weak, you can hook up with somebody else whose faith is strong. And through that prayer of agreement, you can be pulled up out of that situation and get yourself back in the boat. Get yourself to safety. See, a lot of people think, "Well, see, now Jesus, you know, he'll reach out in his sovereignty and he'll pull you up." No, let not that man think he'll receive anything from God. This wasn't Jesus in heaven saving Peter. This is Jesus on the earth saving Peter. People try to say, well, see, there's Jesus. Just cry out to him and he'll save you, even if you don't have faith. Even if you get into doubt and unbelief and begin to sink, just cry out to Jesus and he'll save you. No, that contradicts James chapter 1. Let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. Because the Lord is in heaven. He needs faith on the earth to be able to save, to be able to rescue, to be able to heal, to be able to deliver. But it was because Jesus was on the earth in faith that he was able to help Peter. The other disciples couldn't have helped him. By the time they got the sails turned in the right direction and got over the waves and got to him, where'd he go? He was over there. And it's pitch black, you know. They don't have spotlights. He would have sung. He would have sung. But thank God for the faith of other people to help us. That's why you need to be part of a local body of believers. That's why God has raised up a church. So there's faith. We get around faith. We got faith helping us. When our faith begins to waver, there's the faith of others that can come along and strengthen and fortify our faith. And we don't want to rely on other people. We don't always want to be the victim that's always relying on everybody else. We want to grow in our faith and become a help to others. We want to be in the place where we're out there, we're walking on the circumstances of life, and we can pull people up and help people. That's what we want to be. And we can. Thank God we can help people by faith. So we want to grow in faith. But if we're ever weak in faith, thank God we could call for the elders of the church. We could call for one another. And we go to a faith church. You know, it's important to go to a faith church. And I'm not just talking about the name of the church is faith. Faith church. Because you could have it on your sign, but not have it operating in your life. I'm not satisfied with just being called Life of Faith, Bible Church. It's out there on our sign. Is it in here tonight? Yes. Is the life of faith being lived in here tonight? Yes. That's what we're looking for. That's what we need to have. Not just settle for a sign, but have it active in our life. Now, just like faith will make life weightless, make you weightless in life, cares will weigh you down. Cares are heavy. Cares are invisible weights that sink people. It's the most amazing thing. People care about their family members. I care so much about them. I care so much about them. I pray for them all the time. I make confessions. I speak Psalm 91 over them all the time. I care so much about them. Just so you know, you're sinking them. You're helping to sink them. Even though you're quoting scripture. Even though you're speaking the word of God. Because you need to be speaking God's word in faith. And if you're in faith, things are light and easy and weightless. But cares are heavy. And when we project our care for people on those people, we are actually sinking those people. We're actually making life harder for them. You're putting weights on them. You're putting weights on them. It's the most amazing thing. Because you could be all concerned about an individual, all concerned, and you're praying, and you're saying, and you say you believe in, but you're projecting all this care for this person on this person. And those cares are spiritual, invisible weights that are actually making things harder on them. The best thing you can do is take your cares off of them by not caring, but giving your cares to God. Say, Lord, I thank you for Charlie. He's your problem. I'm not gonna worry another day about Charlie. Oh God, oh God, oh God, you gotta help Charlie, you gotta help Charlie. Help Charlie. Does that look light? Does that look light? It's not light. That's not light, it's not easy. Oh, help Charlie, God. You're not in faith. It looks religious, and you think you're being spiritual, but you're not. You're all full of worry about Charlie, and you're full of care, and all you're doing concerning Charlie is just projecting care on him, which are invisible spiritual weights that'll just pull him down. No, what you need to do is give your cares, your cares on the Lord. Roll them over on him. Now, if you're struggling with fear concerning Charlie, go to God and fellowship with him. Just fellowship with him. Say, Lord, thank you that you're bigger than all of us. You created Charlie. You know Charlie's coming in and going out. And I thank you perfect that which concerns me. Now, Charlie's a concern of mine, but you perfect that. So I just trust you with Charlie right now. I believe you. I believe your word, Father God, and I just thank you that your hand is all over him. You help him. Oh, hallelujah. He's your problem. You got him covered. Thank you, Jesus. Charlie's yours. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not worried about Charlie anymore. Amen. You get that care over on Jesus. You get over there and trust him. And then you're actually helping Charlie. Even though it looks like you don't care. You don't care about Charlie. Well, why would I? Jesus is caring for Charlie. Jesus is caring for me. Let's close with this scripture. 1 Peter. I don't know about you, but I want to stay on the top of the waters of life. Don't you? I don't want to sink. 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, in verse 5, likewise, you younger people. Do we have any young people in here tonight? Yeah. Somebody said, my youth is renewed every day. Hallelujah. Therefore, humble yourselves. No, back up. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When you humble yourself under God's mighty hand, it just causes you to come up. It'll exalt you. It'll bring you up. I mean, there's actually an illustration in the Word of God of faith in the life of Elisha. One of the sons of the prophets were out there working, and they were using an axe, and the axe head fell off the stick and went into the water and sunk, because it's made of iron. This iron axe head, and it sunk in the water. And the man, he panicked, he cried out, he said, alas, my master, for it was borrowed. In other words, this isn't mine, I borrowed it, and now I lost it, I'm in big trouble. And so Elijah went over and he took a stick and he threw it in the water. And when he threw the stick in the water, the iron axe head floated to the surface. The iron axe, iron, floated to the surface. What was this an illustration of? This is an illustration of faith in the Lord, in his care for us, because the stick represents the cross. He hung on that wooden cross, and when he threw that piece of wood in the water, it was a reminder of the cross that was to come. It was a picture of the cross that was to come, which is a picture of God's care for you. God cares for you. Fear not. Once we got the fear out and we applied the cross, even iron floated. Glory to God. I'm telling you, faith will cause you to float in life. Faith will cause you. Faith gets you in the spirit, and being in the spirit is like being in outer space. Weightless. Free from the gravitational pull of this world. Oh, it's just everything's just pulling on me. People are pulling on me. Everything's pulling on me. Sounds like you've got a gravity problem. We need to throw the stick in here. What do you mean? You need to take some time and think on the cross. You need to think about the Lord's love for you, his care for you. Just come back to the cross. You're fearful, you're worried. Come back to the cross. Just come back to the cross. Meditate on the cross for a while. What's going to happen? Faith. Faith's going to manifest. And what's going to happen? We're just going to flow through life. That's how it is spiritually. In the spirit, it's like being in space. So you just got to get in your faith rocket. I said you got to get in your faith rocket. Church is our flight school. That's where we are right now. We're in flight school. Christ is our spacesuit. The Bible says, put on Christ. You got to put on Christ. You got to put on your spacesuit and get into your faith rocket. And that faith rocket is going to launch you out into space or out into the spirit where things are light and easy. But you need the word. It's the word. The word is the fuel to your rocket. And you need the presence of God. You can't just have a dry letter. You have to have his presence. And that's the fire. I said, that's the fire. You got to have the fuel of the word and the fire of God's presence. And don't forget the countdown. 10, 9, 8. Got to have that. What's that? That's your confession. That's your confession. You got to put God's word in your mouth. You got to speak it out to ignite the faith of God that's on the inside of you that's going to launch you. And if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit's going to launch you. It's going to launch you. It's going to raise you up. It's going to take you up higher. It's going to exalt you and cause you to live a light and easy life. As you're out there in space, you need some navigation. That's the love of God. The love of God will help you to navigate through space, through the weightlessness of the Spirit. As we head on back to our homeland, which is the glory of God. I said the church is our flight school. It's ground control. Ground control. Every rocket's got to have ground control. Christ is our spacesuit. You got to put him on. Faith is our rocket, and the word is our fuel. God's presence is the fire. It's the power that's going to launch us. And our confession is the countdown. 10, 9, 8. 7, 6, 5, are you getting ready? 4, hold it. 3. You got to check some things. You got to wait. You got to make sure you're in faith. You don't want to go halfway out there. All of a sudden you get disconnected from ground control, you know. And you're just floating out there in your tin can. You don't want to be floating out there in your tin can. This message tonight can turn. Listen to me. Don't look at the man behind this. This message tonight can turn a major doubting Thomas into a major Tom. It could turn a major doubting Thomas. Do we have any major doubting Thomases in here? It's time to become a major Tom. We're going to praise and worship tonight. Control. 8, 7, 6. Can't hear you. It's the faith rocket. Life of Faith Bible Church. Another Wednesday night service. Did you get the point tonight? Planet Earth is blue, and there's nothing I can do. But thank God I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're not going to put our trust in our tin can. We're going to put our trust in Christ. Can you say amen? Come on, lift your hands and thank Him tonight. An unforgettable word tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.